It's a new year and a new beginning. For renters, that also means a new rent increase formula coming into effect on January 1st. The Coalition Avenir Québec, or CAQ, government say the changes simplify the process of calculating how much a landlord can raise a tenant's rent, helping both parties in the end. The new formula pares down the number of inputs used from 13 to just 4. But tenants groups say that some of the moves, like tying rents to the consumer price index and allowing landlords to pass on more repair costs to tenants, will worsen a crisis of rising rents. Now, those changes won't be felt for a few more months still, when notices of rent increase go out in February, March. But the new year always brings a different kind of notice: evictions and increasingly repossessions. Two tenant organizers speak to CKUT about what renters in the city can expect from these early days of 2026. Here's our conversation. So thank you both so much for coming on CKUT. Can I get you just to introduce yourselves and your organizations? Maybe Steve, I'll start with you.
Sure. My name is Steve Baird. I'm a community organizer at the RECLAC. So we are the coalition of tenants' rights groups in all over Quebec.
Hi, my name is Marie-Frédérique Saint-Ange. I'm the coordinator at the Comité d'Action des Citoyennes et Citoyens de Verdun, which is an organization defending tenants' rights in Verdun, Montreal.
Also known as the CACV, right?
Yes.
And I'm here to talk to you both about what tenants can expect in the new year. It's 2026, and we've been talking a lot about a housing crisis here in Montreal, but we also have some changes that are coming into effect. And I'm speaking first of a new rent increase formula, a new calculation model that came into effect on January 1st. Now, this is something that has been talked about over the past several months at the National Assembly, but, you know, these models are kind of tricky. The nuts and bolts of them, I think, are not clear to most tenants. Now that we actually have these changes on the ground, I'm wondering, Steve, if you can tell me, like, what actually has changed with the new year?
It's not huge changes. Every year, there's a small changes in what are the amounts that landlords can ask for rent increases. And this year, the government of Quebec, they made some changes to the formula. It's not really good news, unfortunately, but it isn't as bad as last year either, because last year and the year before were exceptionally high in terms of the way that inflation was taken into account. So it'll be a bit less bad than last year in terms of what kind of a rent increase landlords can justify. It's a little bit simpler to make the calculation, but unfortunately, if they've done work on the building or in the apartment, they're going to be able to justify an even bigger increase from the work that was done. Basically, we still recommend that people normally contact a housing committee if they want to see what kind of rent increase could the landlord get if they ask for the tribunal to justify it. In most cases, in the very large majority of cases, it's a good idea for tenants to refuse the rent increase if they think it's too high or it's fairly high. And then very few landlords will actually go as far as going to the tribunal. But it's good to know what happens if ever they do. But often refusing a rent increase and doing the calculation, knowing basically what they could potentially get, it puts the tenants in a better position to negotiate with the landlord if they choose to negotiate, or maybe even to be able to refuse and just not have a rent increase this year, which happens also pretty often.
Yeah, you said it might be a little bit easier to do these calculations with the new model that the CAQ has introduced. The CAQ has said the changes are meant to make the process easier, more transparent. But I did see that, you know, around 15,000 tenants submitted a petition against the changes this fall. So as they're coming in, I'm curious, you know, you're making it sound like it's not that big of a deal that we have this new way to calculate rent increases. Why has there been this opposition, if that's the case?
Maybe I would add to this, the new method of calculation, to my understanding, will take into account the inflation rate of the three previous year, which has been exceptionally high for the last period we just went through. So it's kind of like a loop that will feed upon itself and make rent increases higher in general compared to last year, which was highest we've ever seen. this year probably will not be as high, but if you look back at the previous years and use the new calculation method, you would get a higher percentage of recommended increase every time. So it's going to be always higher than what we've seen before. We're not going to go back to like a 2-3% increases anymore. And we see in Verdun, the rents have escalated very, very fast. And it's normal for us to have people come and have their landlords being able to justify $100 or $150 of rent increase per month, which is way too much for the average household, especially those of our neighbors who have lived here the longest. It's very violent, and it forces a lot of families to make sacrifices they should not have to do to be able to pay rent.
Absolutely. And it's I maybe wasn't very clear about sort of what the changes are. I mean, last year and the year before were particularly bad. And so compared to the last couple of years, it's maybe not... it's not that much worse, basically. But we organized that petition at the Reclac that you mentioned, because in the medium long term, this is mostly the CAC making it easier for landlords to justify even bigger increases. That's basically mostly what's happening. The calculation is a little bit simpler, but it's still a bit complex to explain. Like I don't know if we should try to explain it right now live, because it'll be hard probably to understand all the nuances and everything. But mostly they're allowing landlords to make even bigger increases. And then the inflation that's caused by housing, because part of inflation is inflation because of housing prices going up, is going to be used to justify there being more inflation carried over to the next year and more rent increases the next year. So it's like this cycle that feeds itself, like was just mentioned.
You know, I know the CAC has also said, well, it's important for landlords and people who invest in housing to be able to pass along costs. Like, you want somebody to be able to have the funds to renovate a building. You don't want these old buildings falling into disrepair. Is that something that sways you in all, that kind of argument about the changes?
Absolutely not. I do not think that people should be responsible for other people's investment, or that housing is a basic need for everyone and should not be a financial product that you make others pay for. If you have the means to own property, you should maintain it in such a way that it is livable for your tenants. I think it's a bare minimum responsibility that you have as a renter and a homeowner, and that it's not something that we should pawn off onto tenants entirely at all.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's been studies, too, that have shown that in general, being a landlord, it's massively profitable. Nonetheless, you know, they have their associations that lobby on their behalf, and they try to make the argument that, you know, certain kinds of quote unquote investments, even if it's just, you know, keeping the roof from leaking, you know, should be paid off even more quickly by the rents, and they should be able to justify higher rent increases to pay off even more quickly whatever money the landlord puts into the building. But generally, it's very lucrative already what happens with housing. And now, unfortunately, they'll be able to pass on even more of the costs of repairs on the building.
But you said a silver lining for tenants is that we shouldn't expect this year to be as high as it was last year, right? So if people are hearing this and they're getting a little bit worried, we might not still see the same level of increase as last year's record high.
Yeah, the last year was particularly high. It was the percentage, the sort of basic percentage that was allowed for the TAL, even if there's no work and no increases in taxes, was around 5.9. It was 5.9 last year for most units. This year it'll probably be about 3% or 3.1%. So if there hasn't been work done on the building or on the apartment, it'll be a lot less bad than last year. But unfortunately, compared to like most of the last 10 or 20 years, when it was often, you know, 1.5 or 2%, it's probably going to stay higher than it would have been for quite a long time.
Yeah, and we'll have to wait and see until we actually get those numbers from the TAL. But in the meantime, actually, what we're not seeing so much are rent increase notices. What we are seeing more of typically at this time of year are eviction notices. Marie-Frédérique, I'm wondering if you can tell me about what you guys are seeing in Verdun.
Noticeably, ever since the moratorium of the provincial government on eviction took effect, we've seen a very steep increase in repossession of dwellings, which is when the landlord will send you a notice to vacate at the end of your lease to house a close relative or somebody they are taking care of. It more than doubled the amount of people calling for that specific type of scenario. And often we see people wanting to disguise a renovation that leads to eviction as a repossession of the dwelling with a permit from the city. So they will pretend to repossess the dwelling for a relative and ask a permit to reduce one unit and make it a family house, and then just wipe the apartment out of the map entirely. There's a lot of bad faith repossession or appearance of bad faith repossessions. It's absurd. We've seen everything from one landlord wanting six units for the same son, a corporation trying to repossess a dwelling, someone trying to repossess a dwelling for a parent that's never stepped foot in Montreal or Canada even, and all sorts of situations like this, which is very distressing because there's a lot of misinformation regarding repossessions. When tenants hear that the landlord want the apartment for a child or a parent, people think they have to leave and that there is nothing they can do. So we've been trying very, very hard to campaign and let people know that you always have the option to refuse and ask the tribunal to verify that the project is viable and that the repossession is conform to the laws and regulations. For example, if your landlord is trying to repossess an apartment for a child that has a condo in a rich neighborhood and they're trying to repossess a small 3.5 basement apartment that's never been upkept, it looks unlikely that it will happen as a viable project, right? But these are things you can ask the tribunal to look into instead of leaving it up to faith and feeling. And it's distressing for tenants. It's a very stressful situations, but absolutely contact a lawyer, contact a housing committee, and know your rights before you agree to anything. It's the most important.
And I saw that you at the CACV also have a campaign on right now, don't sign anything. What does that mean? Because often in cases like with an eviction, a repossession, rent increase, you know, you might get a paper from your landlord and they say, this is, if you sign this, it just says that you've seen it, you acknowledge it, you don't necessarily approve it, but you're saying just don't sign it all. Tell me why.
Well, don't sign anything before you talk to a lawyer is the official name of the campaign, because we cannot give judiciary advices. But if you do not understand, if you're unsure of the motives behind the signature you're being asked, don't do it. It's much easier to sign if you realize that you agree with what you've read than realizing that you're in a dire situation and undo once a paper has been signed. We've seen landlord lie about many things or put undue pressure or harass their tenants to obtain a signature. And if you feel like there's a huge imbalance of power between you and your landlord, you could feel like you have to do it in a panic, but it's often a prefabricated feeling of urgency and despair that you have when you're faced with those situations that is advantageous for your landlord. So we want to give people the confidence they need to take a step back and wait before they accept anything. I think it's very, very important that you know your rights. You know, you always have the right to stay in your house unless the tribunal orders that you leave. And that's something you should know. Or if you agree to leave on your own terms, but it's not for your landlord to dictate when you have to vacate.
So that's some good advice to tenants for the year ahead. Steve, do you have anything else to add?
Actually, don't sign anything is pretty good advice, not to sign anything on the spot, because there's free help that you can get. You can get it from a housing committee for free. You could probably a lot of people can get it from legal aid for free or from other kinds of community legal clinics. So it's great advice to not sign anything right on the spot. Take your time, except maybe something that just says, yes, I've received the notice. I mean, that could be okay if you're sure that's all you're signing. But take the time to be informed about your rights. Reach out to a housing committee or someone else that can help you out, and that way tenants can be fully informed of what are their rights, what are their options.
I would like to add to talk to your neighbors as well. They are your best allies, and you might realize that the same tactics is being tried on every door by your landlord. But together, you will have more way to negotiate or to see through the tactics of your landlord.
Marie-Frédérique, Steve, thank you both so much for coming on CKUT.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us, and it was nice meeting you, Steve.
Yeah, nice to meet you.